Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. We're not going to be annoying this time. I'm going to say that right off from the beginning. So if you've been annoyed recently by the flannel panel, we are going to have a great show today. Chris Check is here, president of Catholic Answers. Joe Heschmeyer, apologist here at Catholic Answers. Me, Cy Kellett, your host. And we're all going to be on our best behavior and talk about the news of the world from a Catholic perspective. Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers, welcome.
No banter.
No, that the whole thing, it's 2 hours of banter.
We read the angry emails from last time. There will be no banter.
Joe Heschmeyer, apologist and author of The Eucharist, really is.
Nope.
Dang it.
So close.
I switched it in my mind because I said I always get it wrong. I'm going to switch it. Now I switched it to the...
You double corrected.
The Eucharist is really Jesus. Hi, Joe.
Hi, good to talk to you.
Are you a third time papa yet?
Well, yes, but the third child isn't born yet.
God, he always has to do this to me. He always has
I'm sorry. I believe life begins at conception, Cy.
I know, Joe. I know. So, are you implying that when I ask about the birth of your child, I'm demonstrating a failure?
You didn't ask. You asked if I had become a father yet. I don't know when you think that happens. But
hey, Joe, when is baby Christopher coming?
Christopher Cyril.
I think that'll be child like 12 or 13 when we run out of names.
Oh my goodness!
Wait, well, let me just ask you this: which would come sooner, depending on
Cyril
or Chris Christopher? Which would come sooner?
Yeah.
And Cyril, you can do it the Russian way, too. You can say Kirill.
Listeners. Yeah.
All right. Let's have a Facebook poll, please. Everyone on Facebook.
Yes, I was going to say.
Name
Joe's 12th baby. Would it be Cyril or Christopher for Joe's 12th baby? Name him now. This is where we talk about the news of the world from a Catholic perspective and occasionally take pilgrimages to Rome. And that's coming up.
I saw the program.
It's good.
It's 90% there. We can make a tweak or two. It's going to be a great.
Yep. It's too late. Is it too late to sign up?
Nope.
It's really. You could still sign up now.
Give it a whirl. CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com.
All right. CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com. We'd still take you if you.
Yes,
you signed
we will.
Up
we will take you.
But we're going November 9th. We are leaving here.
Joe Heschmeyer and
you guys are leaving the 8th. I'm leaving the 9th. Did you know I have to stay an extra day here, Joe, because I got to do the pledge drive that week?
So I did not know
I will be a day late getting to Rome.
All right. Party on the first day?
I know. You guys are going to have a great time without me there. All right. Are you guys ready for the news of the world from a Catholic perspective?
I have a bone to pick with you. So.
Oh, no. He's picking this bone all day with me, Joe. I recommended a movie. This was a terrible mistake.
I thought you were going to say it's a terrible movie because it was.
Recommending a movie to you was a terrible mistake on my part, and I apologize.
Are you more Barbie or Oppenheimer?
He and Jackie are both mad at me because of one movie. An entire married couple are mad at me because of one movie recommendation.
So actually, I said Cy Kellett said this was a good movie.
Why'd you tell her that?
And then Jackie said, oh, well, I love Cy. Oh, he's perfect.
That's right. That's how Jackie talks about me. Yes.
And let's watch it.
Okay.
And then we did. And literally, I can't repeat on the air the things that, you know, she said about you afterwards.
I believe it.
She really Cy recommended this?
Completely unrelated to what we're talking about. Joe, have you ever seen a movie called The Banshees of Inisherin?
I have.
Give me your rate it on a scale of 1 to 10.
It's so hard to rate. Okay, it's one of those movies you have to know exactly what it is you're getting, which is Irish Flannery O'Connor.
It's not. It is not. It is not.
Well, is there another kind of Flannery O'Connor than Irish Flannery O'Connor? I mean, her name's Flannery O'Connor.
That's a very fair point. I'm trying to make an Irisher version of that name, and it's stuck.
I can't even describe to you how much Chris hates the Banshees of
Inisherin. It's a caricature, possibly, of O'Connor. And then when I realized this same... Mm-hmm. Ding Dong, who made the movie. What's his name?
I don't know the Ding Dong's name. The director?
Yes.
Yeah, but he made another movie.
He made Three Billboards Outside of
that one,
Ebbing,
that
Missouri.
One.
I haven't seen that movie.
Which I really disliked.
I didn't
see
it.
But that one is really Flannery O'Connor right on the nose.
It's not.
That, like, a character
he knows
actually
nothing.
Has Flannery O'Connor.
He knows nothing of the American South. He knows nothing of these people. You know what it was like? It was like downmarket Coen brothers.
Wait.
At least the Coen brothers.
Downmarket Coen
no,
brothers.
No, at least the Coen brothers have some skill as filmmakers.
They're great filmmakers.
They're constantly making fun of their subject. Everything they do, they're making fun of their subject, whether it's the American South or the American West or the Midwest with the funny accents. But they're talented and clever filmmakers. I'll give them that. This guy, the photography was good. But it is
the acting was brilliant. Acting was brilliant.
No, actually, you said
had a lady named Siobhan in it,
and she is a sympathetic character. Right. You say the acting was brilliant, but the more I think about it, is what's this guy's name? Colin Farrell or something?
He was close to perfect in this
movie.
No.
You know who he reminds me of in this movie?
Who?
The guy in Psycho.
The guy that with the mom?
Yeah.
Kevin Spacey?
No.
Psycho.
Psycho.
I was thinking of
the Alfred Hitchcock movie. Is it Anthony Perkins?
Anthony Perkins. Yeah.
He's like Anthony Perkins. He's like this sort of dopey Anthony Perkins character.
Oh, that is so wrong.
It is. It is.
And what about Brendan Behan?
The brother of the director of the movies that you hate made a fantastic movie called Calvary, which stars many of the same actors.
Oh, really?
And is about a priest who is
that is a good film.
Wait,
it's a fantastic.
Is Colin Farrell in it?
No, but the other guy is
Brendan.
The
Meehan?
Other guy, whatever. Yeah. I'm blanking on his name.
Yeah,
Doherty? No, I'm just thinking of random Irish names.
Yeah,
Brendan.
Yeah.
Whatever the name of the guy who's mad at Colin Farrell's character is.
Yeah. That's
Listen,
Brendan Meehan.
I'm going to just say this: a long time ago, there was a guy who reviewed movies for National Review, back when National Review was a good magazine, and his name was.
Wait, when was that?
It was actually, it never really was, but there were some good writers.
Uh-huh.
So back like when Joe Sobran wrote for them and way, way, way back. Anyway, so his name was John Simon, and he was brilliant, and he was a linguist. But he had a single principle about evaluating pictures, and it was this. It has to be
Brendan Gleeson. Sorry, I said Brendan Behan. That's okay. The poet.
Brendan Gleeson.
Yeah,
that movie, Calvary, is good.
Yeah.
He says a movie has to be believable. He says in order for it to be an effective picture, it has to be believable. It doesn't mean it has to be realistic. It can take place, you know, on a faraway planet or something like that. But it has to be believable. And this Banshees of Inisherin,
yeah.
Not believable at all.
I think there's something that you did not, I can't put my finger on it, but there's something you did not, I wish I could put my finger on it. Can you put your finger on it, Joe?
A hermeneutic lens.
What bothers it about?
A lot of the movie is an allegory for the Irish Civil War.
That bugged him more than anything. He hated the allegory.
It's so heavy-handed. It is so heavy-handed. The guns are booming every other scene in the background, and they finally have to spell it out. It's so
heavy. Most people still didn't get it. It's heavy-handed.
Well, how many people, I mean, how many Americans know anything about the Irish Civil War? And the Irish Civil War is a tragedy because they ended a war, and then they started fighting each other. So this is a movie about two Irishmen who hate each other for no reason, and so that does have an allegorical quality about
it. It's not believable.
But it also has, like, if you don't take it as an allegory, it's a very sad movie about a guy who loses his friend, and he can't figure out why he lost his friend. And I thought that Colin Farrell was perfect.
Okay, so except
perfect.
For that plot to work, Cy, there has to be something believable about the ending of the friendship. But this fellow just walking up to him and declaring, "You're boring, and I'm sick of talking about your donkey's poop," or whatever it is.
That donkey is awesome, too. You got to admit it. That's the best donkey you've seen in a movie since Tomb Raider or Sister Sarah.
I think that donkey is the best. I think that donkey is the best thing about the picture.
This is enough. This is enough. On the
readers are going to just start cutting off like
folks.
Fingers,
I'm just going to say, Cy Kellett recommends a picture to you. Cum grano salus, as the Romans used to say.
All right, name one movie that you would recommend to the audience. I didn't recommend to the audience this film. I just recommended it to you, and then you attacked me brutally in my office. I mean, it was really a real thrashing that you gave me over this.
If we had a safe,
I'm going to report it to human resources.
If we had a safe space at Catholic Answers,
I needed a safe space.
You could have gone
when you came into my
space.
Office this morning.
Yes, yeah.
So recommend contemporary movie that you've enjoyed.
The Terrence Malick film.
Oh, I know. I got to see that, but I have not seen
Hidden
it.
Hidden Life.
Yeah,
Hidden Life. Yeah,
I have not seen that.
It's hard for me to watch such serious movies.
You watch this garbage and you don't watch Terrence Malick.
It's hard. Like it's like
he is a genius.
It took me almost more than 5 years to see Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ. There's something about these really heavy, serious movies that takes a...
Terrence Malick is a vastly better filmmaker than
I'm not
Mel
saying
Gibson.
That. I'm just saying that I got to work up to him. Apocalypto is one of the greats.
Brilliant. That is Gibson's best picture.
I also like Hacksaw Ridge. Joe, would you like to recommend a movie? He recommended Terrence Malick.
Hacksaw Ridge was not the
I've already mentioned it. Calvary is brutal. And there's some language. I mean, it's Ireland in the aftermath of the scandal. It's kind of no holds barred.
Yeah.
But there is a real, it's a story of grace, and it's a beautiful reflection, frankly, on kind of the theology of the priesthood.
Yeah.
I think sort of an ex-Catholic who still has a deep love and appreciation of Catholicism. So it's in this kind of weird category of films where there's often these really interesting Catholic movies made by non-Catholics. I know Chris irrationally hates Man for All Seasons, but that would be another one I would put on that list of movies not made by Catholics
don't get him talking about Man for All Seasons. Let me tell you, I can do the whole speech right now. it's about religious liberty. It's not about the Catholic faith. That's what he's going to say.
Okay, wait a minute. It's not even about religious liberty. It's about personal conscience.
Okay.
Robert Bolt spells it out in the introduction to the play.
I know.
Homeschoolers all over the world are getting their history from distorted version of what actually went on.
Don't ever see.
I will say this about Paul Scofield. Wonderful
movies
job
for me. I'm never.
And you know who else
movie.
Does? Vanessa Redgrave.
No,
she doesn't say a word.
I can't. I have no movies to recommend. By the way, I have. I only saw one movie this whole summer. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I will say, don't bother to see Barbie. Right back with the news of the day from a Catholic perspective on Catholic Answers.
You're
Live.
Right, by the way.
Hang on, Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
I come from a family of 16. Ryan, Michael, Levi, Caleb, Noah, Titus, Timothy, Josiah, Elijah, Becca, Emma, Bethany, Hannah, Grace, Ruth, Christiana. I was really encouraged when I was listening to your radio station, and I just think everything you were saying was absolutely true, and I just thought I should call in and let you know that, and that there's still hope out there.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Final panel today, news of the world from a Catholic perspective. Unfortunately, we got derailed by a conversation about the Banshees of Inisherin. And that was so traumatizing to me that we actually need a person with good taste to come in here and recommend a movie. So we've called on Todd Agliolaro, the director of the Catholic Answers Press. Recommend a movie. Give us one. Then we can talk about the book you got in your hand.
Oh, gosh, any movie at all?
I thought you just said one just before.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Christian movies, but The Apostle, starring Robert Duvall and directed by Robert Duvall.
That's in my top five.
Is it?
See, you have good taste too, Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're worried about.
We're mad.
It's
apparently.
About an evangelical preacher in
sort of a
in Texas.
Pentecostal.
He's not Pentecostal.
Oh, okay.
Not himself, but he's an evangelical preacher in
holiness preacher.
Yes, he has a holiness background, in Fort Worth, who goes on the lam and has a redemptive arc.
Well, he gets revenge on the youth minister.
He does do something to a youth minister. That's kind of satisfying to watch, yeah.
Yes, it is.
How many of us have wanted to?
In case there's any youth ministers listening.
This is a beautiful book, and we wanted to invite you in just to talk about this a little bit, and because it just came out, and then Carrie said, well, if you're going to have Todd on, we'll give a deal on the book, so we'll talk about it, but the truth is out there, the complete truth, the collected adventures of Brendan and Irk.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Well, it's 10 years in the making, Cy. Make sure everyone can see the lovely cover on that. The Truth Is Out There is kind of our series name for three graphic novels written by a man who goes by the pen name of Amadeus. And it tells the adventures of two interplanetary delivery men who battle evil forces and learn about the faith. And it's a wonderful blending in a way that's not phony or cloying or overly preachy, a wonderful blending of kind of a fun sci-fi story, a delightful graphic novel visuals, and solid catechesis and apologetics. And we have three books in this trilogy: The Truth Is Out There, The Big Picture, which is about salvation history, and The Weapons of War, which deals with the sacraments. And to celebrate and to commemorate the 10th anniversary of our first publication of The Truth Is Out There, we put together a collected edition in a beautiful hardcover, all color, containing all three volumes of the series, as well as bonus content on how the graphic universe came into existence, interviews with the author, sketches of the characters and the spaceships and all kinds of other cool stuff, and a bonus story, Brendan and Irk Go to the Beach.
The Truth Is Out There, The Complete Truth, The Collected Adventures of Brendan and Irk. It's been 10 years.
Really. I remember when Todd brought this up at an executive committee meeting. It was when Carl Keating was still president. And he said, we've got this graphic novel. And I said, what is a graphic novel? And Carl had the foresight to say, hey, let's give that a whirl. Or did you have to talk him into it, Todd?
Well, none of us really understood it. At least in the room, we didn't realize what maybe Jimmy did, what a force the genre was in the world. Because none of us were, we said, is it a comic book? Well, it's not really a comic book.
Right.
It's for adults. And it was written for adults, and adults have loved and benefited from these. But we found probably its biggest fans have been kind of teenage readers.
Yeah.
Confirmation age have really latched onto it, homeschooled.
Oh, this is a great confirmation present.
It's a perfect
present.
Confirmation.
This is a perfect confirmation present. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's always like, what should I get the kid for confirmation? Get him this.
Yeah.
This is a beautiful, it's a collection of graphic novels, but it's one hardbound copy that is just magnificent. Congratulations
Can
on
I
it.
Can I say one more thing? Written and drawn by the same man, and not
unusual.
With a computer. Right.
Well, he does everything by hand, but he does have technological aids.
Okay.
As you know, the man in question, the author, is a cloistered monk.
He's an abbot.
A semi-cloistered monk, and but he doesn't completely eschew all technology.
Okay.
So he's been able to take advantage of what you know, the field offers him in that regard. But you know, it's funny, you were talking about Christian movies before I walked in. So much of what you want to call kind of pious, didactic Christian fiction, whether it's movies or TV shows, is either really earnest and boring.
Yeah, right.
Or
you said cloying is a good word.
Yeah, or just hits you
didactic.
Over the head with the message.
Yeah, message.
And this is not that at all. It really pulls off an amazing trick of being fun and utterly orthodox and rooted in the truth.
Well, today only, this is what Carrie tells me, today only we're offering $10 off this special edition during a 24-hour flash sale. Use the promo code COMPLETE at checkout when you buy The Complete Truth, The Collected Adventures of Brendan and Irk at shop.catholic.com.
That's
you really
a
should order it today.
Yeah.
It's a great Christmas present, a fantastic confirmation present.
It's cheaper than buying all three books by themselves, and it's hardcover. And the first story, which was partially black and white when we first published it, is now all color. This is the edition to own, without a doubt, and to give away at Christmas or to your confirmand, for sure.
That came, and Todd's visit came with a recommendation to see The Apostle, something that won Chris's approval.
Seconded by Chris, so you know it's good.
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. Go to shop.catholic.com. Use the promo code COMPLETE. Get $10 off. Todd, thanks very much for coming in.
It was great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, very, very nice. And now we turn back to the news. I don't know. Joe, are you still with us? Did you go?
I am, so to speak.
So you are. And we didn't bother you about this, but I have to bother you a little bit. You neglected to wear a flannel.
I
panel.
Did completely forget the one requirement of the show.
There just always has to be
no
one
prep.
Of us.
It's just wear the right shirt, and so.
You know what? We always say there's always one of us that forgets to wear his flannel, but it's not true. It's always you or me. It's never Chris. Chris is when has Chris ever forgotten his flannel for the flannel panel?
That's true.
All right, I want to run probably the most important story in the world today, based on coverage, I would guess. This is the number one story on the entire earth, and one we'll all be talking about at the end of the year, certainly, when we do our year-end reviews. The people at Burning Man got rained on. So I'm glad that that got as much media attention as it did, because we don't want to neglect the important stories of our time. Do either of you know what Burning Man is?
I'm sort of aware of what Burning Man is. It seems like Woodstock for the West.
Woodstock without good musicians.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think there are live rock and roll performances at it. But it's something more than that. It's an annual...
What is it? It's an annual what?
Well, I was about to say pilgrimage, but that sounds kind of blasphemous or sacrilegious. It's
a secular pilgrimage.
Yeah, it's a secular... I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's a secular pilgrimage. It's also expensive as all get out. So it's a certain class that attends this, 4-day bacchanal in the desert?
Yeah, and it's... To me, it has a kind of religious overtone, which makes it interesting, which is that secularity, desperate for religion, goes out to the desert and burns things to have the feeling of community and religion.
Although this is completely derivative from an old horror picture starring Edward Woodward and Robert.
Wicker Man?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
And,
which is about Satan worship.
Is there someone in the Burning Man?
Well,
there
no,
was
I,
once.
I don't think that did happen once. I don't think so.
But
that is about, derivative then.
Yeah.
But you kind of smirked, Joe, when I said this has a religious feel to me.
I was wondering if it was kind of New Age. So I only like see these kind of news articles. I don't really know much about it. What do people do this entire time in the desert?
I don't think they wear as much clothing as they usually wear.
I see.
And I think that they...
fornicate.
There's a lot of chemicals involved,
yeah.
I think. And so the things that go with the consumption of those chemicals, including lights and sounds. I was reading, I read their website today in preparation for this, because I wanted to share some stuff with you about it. And they had one part that said, you know, if you're bringing your child to Burning Man, which I thought, first of all, just check with Child Protective Services on the way out, please. We'd like to, one of the things it said, if you're bringing it, be aware, it might be hard for the child to sleep because there's constant loud noise. And I was like, who on earth thinks, you know what I need? More loud noise. As a modern person, what I need is more loud noise. Constant.
Especially if you're a parent of small children.
Yeah.
Like the right. One thing that every parent is saying is, man, my life is too quiet. It's too calm. Yeah. I get too much sleep.
But so I think my guess from that is that, you know, it's like a rave, you know, where if you take certain chemicals, it allows the brain to tolerate and really enjoy what it might otherwise get tired of very quickly. These repetitive thumping music and the light show and all that. And I realize I'm talking about this like an old man, but old men are dumb. Like we know what you're doing. All right, we were young and stupid once.
But I don't think this is a lot of young people. I think it's people our age.
It's people that never got enough of the thumping music and chemicals. Like, and I'm sorry, but that's kind of sad.
Okay, so I think there is this is an easy thing to kind of dismiss, like, oh, those are kooky people who go to the desert.
Right.
There's 70,000 of them.
Oh, and there's thousands and thousands more that would go if they could.
That's half the population of,
right.
of Rockford, Illinois.
The only, just like I measure everything by food, like how many sandwiches would that cost? Chris measures everything by the size of Rockford, Illinois for some reason.
That it's not a stable measure.
Yeah, right. No, but the thing is, the Bureau of Land Management will only let a certain number of people out there on this dry lake bed. So that's what limits the size of it. But they, I
70,000 people are looking for something.
What's that Chesterton quote you say about the young man who goes to the brothel?
Oh, he's looking for God.
It's not in
Chesterton. Yeah, it's actually
The World, the Flesh and Father Smith. Smith.
And yeah. Who's that?
I forget the author's name.
Oh, okay. And that has
the man who knocks on the door of the brothel is looking for God. This is what this is.
Which is, yeah, that you're trying to satisfy the spirit through the
God-shaped hole.
Yeah, trying to fill that up. And that's why I think it should be taken seriously. And so they have 10 values of Burning Man that I thought I would share with you two and see if they comport with what we might call Christian values. Now, why did you say, oh my, does that sound a little pretentious?
It sounds 10 like it's going to be quite a ride. I'm buckling in.
All right. Principle number one is radical inclusion. Anyone may be part of Burning Man. We welcome and respect the stranger. No prerequisites exist for participation in our community.
Well, I think you have to pay to get in.
You have to pay thousands of dollars. Yes. It's easy to welcome the stranger if the stranger has an American Express black card. I mean, that's not...
Our exclusive subdivision welcomes anyone who can afford the house.
Right. Like, and knows the gate to the key.
What is an exclusive in the house?
Like, I actually think radical inclusion is a wonderful principle. And I think a person like Dorothy Day practiced it. And I think a person like Mother Teresa practiced it. That is, anyone, including the person who's profoundly ill or disturbed or has no ability to maintain their own hygiene or what, this is radical inclusion.
I think
you'll
find that type at Burning Man, but they're wealthy and also unhygienic.
Well, yeah, there's a certain point at which you have so much money, hygiene doesn't matter anymore. But I want to say I agree with the principle, but come on, who are we kidding? That's not what this is.
But it makes the people who are very wealthy feel very good to think about how inclusive and welcoming they are.
I almost gave out the phone number. I feel nervous right now because the clock is going and there's no music playing, and there should be music playing right now. We'll be right back. We'll continue with our discussion of Burning Man right after this on Catholic Answers Live. Flannel Panel. When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore.
Needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to CASociety315.com and join today.
Is relativism dead? It sure seems dead. Each day, new moral demands are made and they are presented to us as absolutes. Everything from transgender ideology to physician-assisted suicide is presented as a moral good that all right-thinking people must accept. But Catholic Answer's own Carlo Broussard says look deeper, and you will see today's moralism is just relativism dressed up in new clothes. Carlo's eye-opening book, The New Relativism, shines a light on how the sacred moral teachings of this age cover up a deep denial of moral truth. Order your copy of The New Relativism today at shop.catholic.com and be prepared to defend the truth against aggressive relativism. The New Relativism at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Jonette Williams. We bring you the truth of the Catholic faith on Women of Grace tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern here on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Pope Francis has said a lot of interesting things lately and gone to a lot of interesting places, including Mongolia. So we are going to talk a good deal about Pope Francis in the course of this flannel panel. But it's interesting the way the media selects its stories. And a bunch of privileged people getting rained on in the desert really becomes a big story when it's not a story at all, actually. There's nothing interesting about it. But we're compelled to be interested in it and find it fascinating. Meanwhile, there's really important things happening all over. So I do have that a little bit of this sense of bemusement of the things that become news. But they become news because people have internal reasons why they choose what they think is important to report on. And people have internal reasons why they think going to a thing like Burning Man is interesting and exciting.
This is an obvious one, Cy. It's because it's titillating.
I mean, the thing about it is, oh, Joe, thank you for putting on a flannel for the flannel panel. You look great. And welcome back.
Better late than never is really what I.
Yeah, it's thought. Titillating because sex, drugs, and rock you. And roll. Yep. That's the thing. That's the, and no, so.
Not your flannel shirt, Joe.
did he think that you
he
meant
said,
his,
thank you.
That his flannel shirt
I,
was titillating?
I knew you were not referring to that, but the timing of the comments was such that I could.
One of my favorite focus episodes that we ever did was with Carlo, and what we did was we took the values of the Church of Satan. They have a list of values on their website, and we read through them. And we just evaluated them, and Carlo was so generous and philosophical, not at all personal or accusing in the way he. I really liked that, and so I thought, well, let's do that with Burning Man. Let's take a look at. But I'm sorry to say that their first one, radical inclusion, anyone may be part of Burning Man, is. Really not convincing at all, because if you got to pay $2,700 plus $150 for parking to come to get your preferred spot, I mean that's not everyone's paying that, but the least I saw one newspaper report, the least you could pay just for admission to get you and your car in there is $800, and that's not there's no food, there's no nothing else, you know, the plane fare you took. So most of the people there for a few days out in the desert are spending thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And they're telling us that this is a community of radical inclusion where everyone's welcome. Well, I just think that's not convincing at all. The second of their principles is gifting. Burning Man is devoted to acts of gift giving. And this apparently is part of the Burning Man ethos that people just give stuff to each other. Out there.
So that $800 is kind of an investment if you can get some good stuff.
Yes, so you could just come and take. You don't have to give. But I mean, again, there's that same the economics of it. I mean, you know, a bunch of wealthy 1%, you know, and 1%. If you go on the global economy. About 20% of the United States is the top 1%. All these people that complain about the 1% don't realize they're in the 1%. If you actually look at how Africa and Asia and Latin America live, you may well be in the 1%. Okay, so you take your disposable income, you go out and you give things to each other. Again, there's people that need stuff. You're not giving to people who need stuff. You're giving to other rich people. Either of you? Nothing?
Yeah, no, it's absolutely right. And this is the kind of... Performative.
Yeah. Thank you, Joe.
I think it's really obnoxious. The whole thing about this, I get wanting to get away, especially if you have like a stressful job and wanting to get away and have fun and all of this, but you don't have to act like you're benighted and saintly for going into the desert and having fun hanging out with a bunch of strangers. But you just don't have to turn this into some sort of grand act of virtue. You can just admit.
No, but you do for
I've
some
got a stressful
reason.
Job and I'd like a break.
I got a stressful job in IT and I took a private jet to Reno and then caught a rental car out here. Somehow people do feel that they have to justify that.
Yeah, so I'm reminded in all of this of a Mick Jagger quote. Mick Jagger, for those of you who aren't as cool as me,
I can't get no satisfaction.
Yeah, that's the quote. No,
this is two days in a row that Mick Jagger has come up on this show. I hope that does not bode ill for him.
The beginning of a good streak.
Okay, so what were you going to say about Mick Jagger?
He said as a young man that he hoped he wasn't still playing Satisfaction by the time he was 45. Yeah. He is currently 80 and he is still touring. And there's something that it reveals that's extremely nihilistic about the culture. That there's just like an entire generation that kind of refused to grow up. And I think Burning Man is an artifact of that.
Yeah.
That look, it's like this. If you make an idol of youth, then you've really set the clock against yourself. You know, in ancient cultures, including Christianity, there's a real admiration of old age and esteem and wisdom. So even like the word presbyter, the word from which priest comes, literally means elder, that an elder was someone you looked up to. And St. Paul has to warn St. Timothy not to let people look down on him because of his young age. That's the culture. Now we have a total inversion of that.
Yes.
Where now everything is about youth and beauty. And the problem with making idols of these things, besides the obvious, is that they're all really fleeting. And so you are inevitably going to get worse and worse as time goes on. If you're prizing your value based on how cool you are at 20 or 25.
Isn't this what's at the heart of all the transhumanism business?
Right? They just want the party to keep going.
Yeah,
you think that was I think it's wealthy people want the party to keep going.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, there's the kind self-indulgence. Of a fear of death.
I actually think the one principle that actually is a principle of this thing is self-indulgence.
Oh, is that on here?
I don't know that it. They don't list that.
Okay.
I think it's worse because self-indulgence is all pretending to be the opposite.
No, exactly. Well, that's exactly right. But we can't say our principle is self-indulgence.
No, you can't say that, right?
You could.
No, what you say is self-expression. And that is what they say. Radical self-expression arises from the unique gifts of the individual. No one other than the individual or a collaborating group can determine its content. It is offered as a gift to others. In this spirit, the giver should respect the rights and liberties of the recipient. I don't know what any of that means, but it sounds like we're just going to do whatever we want.
So I can tell you.
And you can't say anything about it.
This is sort of the reductio of libertarianism, right?
No, now you're going to.
We hadn't insulted libertarianism yet in this.
Libertarianism is a very problematic philosophy.
This is where it
and
goes.
Lots of Catholics fall for it. But I personally am convinced that libertarianism, as it is usually expressed, cannot be made to fit with Catholic social teaching or with the gospel.
It cannot at all.
Okay.
It's a flawed vision of the human person.
Now, some people just mean by libertarianism, they mean liberty, that you have a right to liberty. And that is not libertarianism. I agree with them. Liberty is one of the things that God intends for you to have. And the government doesn't have the right to take away that away.
No, they mean acting out of self-interest. They throw words around like scarcity. They quote von Mises, who was explicit and said, my program does not work in a Christian world.
Yeah, and right. And you think of Ayn Rand as the big proponent of a certain kind of libertarianism and a hero. And it's a very sick view of humanity.
It's self-indulgent.
All right, but they do have this as one of their values, or one of the principles of Burning Man, decommodification. And I have to tell you, when I saw this decommodification, I thought, I'm 100% in on this one. There's no way I'm going to argue with this one. In order to preserve the spirit of gifting, our community seeks to create social environments that are unmediated by commercial sponsorships, transactions, or advertising. We stand ready to protect our culture from such exploitation. We resist the substitution of consumption for participatory experience. Okay, it kind of screeched to a halt there on participatory experience because I don't really believe that's a value. But I am anti-consumption. I'm with them. 100%.
Yeah, I got to be frank. One of the things that I was really disgusted by, if that's not too strong a word, in Europe was seeing churches with advertising on them.
Oh, they do that? They sell advertising space?
Well, kind of. So in churches that were being renovated, you know how they have all the
construction stuff on? Yeah. Right.
They would sell that space. So it wasn't directly on the church, but still, you're looking at this gorgeous church and there's like a soccer billboard. And you're just like, this is shockingly out of place.
Yeah, it is. It's not really comparable to the medieval practice of the patron's name going on something. You know, there'd be a plaque or a door or something with the patron's name on it.
That's at least tastefully done. This is like garish and different bright colors to draw the eye. And it draws the eye. It's directly in competition with God.
Because
they want you not to look at the church. They want you to look at the capital.
Right. The church is supposed to stand in contrast to all, not just to insult the commerce that goes around it, but it's supposed to be pointing to a meaning in life that transcends all of that commerce.
Yes, the den of thieves that our Lord warns about the temple becoming is something we would do well to remember, that we want to stay a little bit above the fray.
But if there are people that are worried about life as a commodity, that life has been commodified, I feel like I'm all in with them and I want to have that conversation. I don't want to be just making fun of that or dismissing it. I think that, well, now there's a principle that you should sit down with a Christian and talk about, because we all have been forced into this kind of consumerist view. We even consume our religion in many ways. A lot of people treat church as a place it's like a fill-up station. I think is a point of contact where we could begin a fruitful conversation.
Yeah, I think I've used the analogy of the fill-up station with church, you know, like you go to refill your tank, but there is something really spiritually dangerous about that it becomes too transactional.
Turning worship into a commodity. In fact, not necessarily worship. And if you listen to a recent episode of Joe's podcast, he draws that distinction between what Catholics and Protestants are doing. But it is as a commodity, that notion is driven home because so much of it is entertainment. And that is something that, yes, we do pay for.
Right.
Right. We pay for entertainment. So we pay to go to the movies, or we pay to go hear a musical act. And so much of worship now, not worship.
Self-described worship.
Yeah, self-described worship. Thank
right.
you.
Is actually entertainment.
It's entertainment.
Right.
It's entertainment.
Right. It's meant to, just like any entertainer does, there's the desire to elicit an emotion. In this case, an emotion that directs one hopes, towards God, but is nonetheless, it's just emotion. It's
sometimes worth, like, taking a hard look at even like the words we're saying. Now, this is, I know, Chris, you have in mind a lot of probably like evangelical services, but even within the Catholic Church, even within the Mass, I don't sing any song that is just about how great we are.
Because you don't sing We Are the Light of the World, Joe?
Right. Even like Gather Us In, it has this amazing line, Gather Us In, the Rich and the Haughty. And then it goes in the same song, says, We have been sung throughout all of history, which is the most amazingly like self-aggrandizing vision. And it's like, wow, I don't remember a lot of medieval songs just about how great we are. It's just...
Well, I don't know that many medieval songs. They could have been a lot of those, Joe.
Dies Irae, Pange Lingua.
I feel sheepish about this because I sing the songs. I haven't run into, I mean, if a song were explicitly heretical, I would not sing it.
I don't sing them because they're not supposed to be there.
They're not worship.
There is like the notion of a sacrifice of praise. And so there's a way to use song in the worship of God. But worship is from worthyship. You are giving God his due. It is not a time to sing about how great we find ourselves. And so any songs that are by us, for us, to us.
And about us
that have cut God out of the picture or at most used him as a means to how great we are, it's really in a big way the antithesis of worship. It is self-directed, self-focused. And the whole point of worship is to be the opposite of that.
So would you extend that to like what my morning ritual where I look in the mirror and I go, you're good enough?
Good enough.
You're here. And doggone it, people like you. You don't think that that's going too far?
I think lying to yourself is a bad way to start the day. But that's another.
Oh, man. All right, let me give you some more of the values of Burning Man. See if any of them, if you want me to read. Just read through them. And if there's any you want to go back to. Radical self-reliance. I think I already did radical self-expression.
That's the libertarian.
Yeah, that's very libertarian.
Radical self-reliance.
What is radical self-reliance? You're relying on gifting.
I'll read it to you. Burning Man encourages the individual to discover, exercise, and rely on their inner resources.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do. But not one another.
I think there's a kind of generalism here that's, you know, it's like they're using a lot of big words because we don't really want to drill down on what these actually mean.
These principles don't stand a lot of scrutiny, particularly as a manifesto.
All right. How about these? Any of these grab you? Communal effort, civic responsibility.
Wait, how does communal
leaving
effort,
no trace.
How does communal effort go in hand in hand with radical
self-reliance,
independence?
There would seem to be a tension there. I don't know if they're opposed to one another, but there would seem to be a tension there. Our community's values, this is the communal effort one. Our community values creative cooperation and collaboration. We strive to produce, promote, and protect social networks, public spaces, works of art, and methods that, well, they burn works of art, and methods of communication that support such interactions. I got to say, some of that stuff I really like protecting social networks. That's something that our society has almost completely failed at.
You mean like the family, marriage?
Protecting public spaces. I don't know that a lot of public nudity, drug taking, and loud music actually protects public spaces, but we could debate what the value means. But I do think a lot of our public spaces are inhuman. I mean, inhuman. I don't know if you've been to an airport lately, but it's inhuman. That's people should not be treated the way we are in many of our public spaces, including malls and restaurants and a lot of them.
Yeah, I was.
I'm going to venture to say that the people who attend Burning Man haven't read these principles and are not thinking about them while they are there.
Well, the last two are participation and immediacy. Do either of those
grab you? I like the virtue of participation.
The virtue of I don't know what that means. Is participation a virtue? Like, I'm going to tell you right now something that I will never go to with either of you. If there's ever...
Burning Man?
No. If there's a... If you go... I want to take you to a play, but there's audience participation. No, I'm not going. I'm out. I will not participate. It freaks me out when people start walking down the... No, leave me alone. I came to watch you perform. I'm not going to perform. I'm getting a cut of the gate.
Passive consumption. You don't want to be a full and active participant in the theater experience.
All right, let's talk about Pope Francis when we get back. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right, more news of the world from a Catholic perspective right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
The most original Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
What have you always wanted to know about the Vatican? Well, I'm your Vatican Insider, and I answer that question when I bring you the news about the Pope, Vatican City, and I share insights and stories from a broad spectrum of church ministries.
Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis, Saturday night, 9 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Maybe Burning Man is the peripheries. Maybe we should go out to the peripheries.
You go first.
I used to hear about these Catholics who would go and set up a booth at a pornography convention. And I always thought, that's admirable. Good for them. That's good that they're there, reaching out to people. Sure. Maybe we should have a Catholic Answers booth at Burning Man. I don't want to go. Send somebody else.
First. Yeah.
Could you say that again?
Check with your wife first before you do something.
Before
like
the pornography convention? I mean, I don't know. That's Pope Francis' thing. Go out to the peripheries. That's what he says. I
that's quite what he means by that, but yeah.
Well, it's hard to know.
It is hard to know what he means.
Yeah, what does he mean?
Do you think I'm wrong about that pornography convention? I thought it was admirable what people did to go out there.
I think it's wildly imprudent. I get the idea. And there are ministries specifically targeting people in that industry.
You know, I think it's kind of it could be scandalous a little bit.
By the way, I don't know if they were inside or outside the convention. I don't know.
Okay, that makes a huge difference.
But you are right, Joe, and I'm trying to remember the names of some of these, or one in particular, but they typically are run by women who have come out of that particular industry. And are now trying to save some of their colleagues.
I mean, without being too reductionistic about it, I think that probably women are better suited to run a ministry like that.
Yeah,
it seems less like a creepy facade.
Well, I actually believe in the difference between men's brains and women's brains, and there is something about the male that is instantaneously visually stimulated. That you just have to not put yourself in certain situations, or you're not. That would be imprudent, I think.
Right.
I think
the nature of biology, you can't just overcome with good intentions.
No, right, right. I'm here for Jesus. Is not gonna. You shouldn't be here. Still pertains. All right, I want
to. Okay. Well, so we're asking a donor to put up $2,700 to send Cy Kellett to Burning Man next year to run the Catholic Answers booth.
I could take all of it. I can't take noise. The constant noise would drive me. I would go batty.
Yeah.
I mean, battier. I couldn't take it. Joe, could you take it? Could you take all that noise? Because
send you. I've got multiple toddlers in the house. I don't know what the comparison point is, but
yeah, your decibels are probably higher. All right, which one would you like to talk about first? Pope Francis comments on Russia, or Pope Francis comments on American conservatives? You get to pick. Where would you like to go?
Let's go Russia.
All right, we'll start in Russia
for $500.
We only have 10 minutes left in the hour,
Alex.
So.
Oh no, well, this is going to continue into the next hour. So we're not going to take care of. But Pope Francis.
Oh, a Russia thing that ended up being a lot longer than expected.
I mean, first of all, can I just say this about Pope Francis? I am so delighted that he went to Mongolia. I read that there are 1,500 Catholics in Mongolia. good for him for going. God bless
him. You think they had to do a lottery?
What's
you know how every other place he goes, they have to do like a lottery system to see who's going to get the ticket to go?
Yeah. Right, but
they're just like, hey, they all got all in. Of you.
Yeah. And but I thought it was great, and he seemed. I think if you were kind of trapped as you know in Vatican City, it'd probably be just nice to get out on the step and see the horses and all that kind of stuff. But I think it's great that he went. I think it's just great that he went to Mongolia. But before he left, he talked to some Russian youth.
Once the largest empire in the world.
The Mongolian Empire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you meant the Russian Empire.
Well, the Russian
Empire. Both were right at different times.
Russian Empire is the largest now.
I mean, the most rapid expansion of an empire in history.
Yeah, mostly based on Mongols. Mostly based on the stirrup, really good right? marksmanship and horsemanship.
Horse.
Yeah, the stirrup on the horse. It allowed them to stand up while holding a bow while riding.
Yeah.
Without the stirrup, you can't really do that.
Yeah, Ammianus Marcellinus says that the Mongols never got out of the saddle. They just lived on. I think he was exaggerating.
Yeah, right. But at least hyperbolically,
they
that
come
is.
All the way. They come all the way to France. I mean, it's.
They were geniuses of communication, of tactics, and all. And do you know that some of those Mongols that marched around the world were Christians? Did you know that, Joe? Did either of you?
I did not. I knew there were some who converted. I thought to Nestorian Christianity.
It was. They were Nestorian Christians. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there was. Well, Frater John.
And Louis the Ninth, I think, when he's in the Holy Land during the Crusades, sends an embassy to try to have a conversation with them.
Fascinating.
Tell me about the name that you just said, because that was a wonderful medieval legend.
Frater John.
Frater John was
the priest who went east to the Far East and was going to come back.
Right.
Yeah,
and he was like the great king priest of the Far East.
And part of the mythos of the Crusades that people don't know about is this idea that a great Christian king existed in the East, that somewhere around China, there was a great Christian king. And actually, Hannibal, his mother was a Christian. So she was a...
He was before.
No, not Hannibal. I'm sorry.
He was
no,
BC.
Not Hannibal. No,
Attila.
Attila the Hun.
Attila,
I don't know why I said Hannibal. Yeah, Attila. They're stored in the same cell in my brain. I think the Attila. His mother was a Nestorian Christian. Yeah, but so the medieval people had this sense that somewhere far to the east there were Christians because they knew that Christianity had been severed by. The Islamic conquests. They knew that there were Christians on the other side of Islam. They just didn't know where they were. And so the legends grew of the great Christian kingdom to the east.
There's something really, I think, holy and healthy about that. The kind of longing for these Christians you know are out there that you want to be connected with. There really is, in some way, a desire for the one church to be one.
Well, and it's also an attachment to the tradition. I mean, apostles went east, so it just stands to reason that...
Right. East and south, too. I mean, we have Philip with the eunuch from Ethiopia, even in the New Testament, and that on the other side of Islam, from Europe, there were many Christians in Africa and in Asia. And this, I think, is something that is often... I find it cruel when people say Christianity is basically a white... Christian religion.
Right.
It's cruel to say that because the reason that Christianity is not in North Africa is because people were tortured and killed for Christianity in North Africa. The reason that they're not in Arabia is because they were tortured and killed if they tried to be Christian. The Christians went out in every direction. They were not trying to be a white European religion. They were murdered for their faith.
Well, and they're being murdered right now in these ancient Christian communities or starved to death by the Muslims in Azerbaijan, for example.
Exactly, in Armenia. Pray for Armenia.
I mean, look at like the Ethiopian church, which has lasted for basically 2,000 years. I mean, look at the parts of India. I mean, there's incredible histories that you look at this and think, oh, wow. You can't just blame Catholicism on like the Roman Empire or something like this, because here we've got centuries of disconnect and remarkable unity, remarkable similarity. And so it's really a natural experiment to use kind of the secular parlance where you say, okay, you know, if this is really just a European thing, if it's a white thing, if it's a Roman thing, whatever, then we wouldn't expect India and Ethiopia to be the way they are.
I'll tell you what, we didn't get to, praise God that Pope Francis went to Mongolia and came back from Mongolia, and I hope he had a great time. I do think it was beautiful that he went there, but we haven't talked about his comments about Russia or his comments about American conservative ideological Catholics. And so now we're going to have to take a very quick break, and we'll talk about those two things when we come back with the flannel panel. Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers, Joe Heschmeyer, apologist here at Catholic Answers, and me, Cy Kellett, your host.
And I, Cy Kellett,
your host.
English major.
I'm sorry, Chris. I'm getting too old. It all fades away. We'll be right back. We'll talk about the Pope and his interesting comments right after this.